I ngā maunga whakahio te motu, tēnā rā tātou katoa, ko James Beck tēnei, I'm James Beck, and welcome to Season 2 of Ngahere. Ngahere. Ko ai au, ngō ngā hau e whāo ke tūpuna, engari e tupu aki au I raro I ka kohatu whakarekereko a tamatia pōkai whenua kei kōnei kei Ōtautahi. So my ancestors came from all over the place, but I grew up in Ōtautahi, Christchurch. I'm a pastor, a speaker, a youth worker, and for fun, I like to run, read, and play guitar rather poorly. But more than anything, I love the people and the whenua of Aotearoa. Now just to recap, in our first season of Ngahere, I came up with this crazy plan. See, I was looking at the health of our planet and the well-being of the people who live in Aotearoa, and I had some pretty big questions. Questions about what our faith and what the Bible might have to say about the way that we live and how we care for creation and each other. Questions about why the church doesn't seem to be doing too much to take care of God's good creation. And questions about how Māori and Pākehā can learn from each other and grow together as we care for the whenua. So last time, I invited two strangers who were asking some similar questions to come to Christchurch for a weekend, to head off the grid to a secluded hut on Banks Peninsula, hidden in the middle of beautiful native bush surrounded by birds, so that we could fully immerse ourselves in creation to explore these big questions. Now what I didn't expect was how many other people were also asking these same questions. So many people listened and got in touch to let me know that they had been wrestling with the same sorts of things. And so after talking for hours and making season one of Ngahere, we quickly realized that we had only just scratched the surface. I actually came away from our first weekend in the hut with a totally new perspective on how Christians should be caring for creation here in Aotearoa. Now that first kōrero was amazing, but I actually left the hut with some new questions that I haven't been able to get out of my head. Questions about how we can feel more connected to the places where we physically live when we are also living in an online, disconnected, concrete-covered world. Questions about how we should care for and respect the whenua when the economic system that we're a part of seems to see it as something to be used and abused. And as weird as this might sound, questions about the difference between dirt and soil and how so much of the stuff that we take for granted might actually hold the key to living a truly abundant life here in Aotearoa. So with all of these questions in mind, I decided to get the crew back together again and go back to the hut to continue the kōrero. So nau mai, haere mai, let's jump back into my waka, and by waka I mean my marginally roadworthy people mover, and pick up Waiora and Andrew for another journey as we explore the many connections.
Here we go again. Te timata o te haerenga anō. It's going to be a big couple of days.
So first up, I was off to pick up Waiora. She is an amazing wahine. Waiora has Ngāti Haka, Ngāti Hine, and Waitaha Tapuika whakapapa. Waiora is a deacon or rikuna in Te Amorangi o Te Tai Taukarau, which is part of Te Hāhei Mihingari, the Māori Anglican Church in Aotearoa, and she is studying both Te Pinakitanga ki Te Reo Kairangi in Tauranga Moana and theology at St. John's Theological College in Tamaki Makaurau. Like I said, she's amazing.
1.2 kilometres, turn right onto Bower Avenue.
Alright, getting close. Waiora's staying somewhere else this time. For someone who's never been to Christchurch, she's got heaps of friends. I actually know the guy she's staying with though, so I'm looking forward to seeing him too. This is not my side of town. I actually have no idea where I am. Thank you, Siri, though. saving the day once again.
Then at the roundabout, take the second exit.
Thanks, ladies, Siri.
I was so excited to see Waiora again. I hadn't actually seen her in person since we were together to record season one, and we had heaps to catch up on. Her and I are about the same age, and we have a bunch of the same questions, but we come at them from really different perspectives, so it's epic to have her on this Haerenga again.
Arrived.
And so it really begins.
So I took a deep breath, pulled into the driveway, and I mentally prepared myself for the Haerenga that was just about to begin.
Right, let's go find Waiora. Get it, bro.
All good?
Happy New Year.
Come on, then.
Kia ora, Rach. How's that? Lovely to see you.
Waiora was staying with my good friend Pitipi and his whānau. We had a quick chat about op shop art, and then after that, Waiora and I jumped in my waka and we were off.
Tau ana ki te rānei, eh?
Ai.
Ka bai. Pai te ne whānau ki ai.
Ai, ai.
It had been about a year since we had been together, but it didn't feel like it. We got straight into talking about all the really important stuff, like the random names that people give to suburbs.
What suburb are we in at the moment?
This is like New Brighton, Parklands.
New Brighton? Are we near a beach?
Yeah, there's a beach just over there.
Oh, that makes sense. Not very creative, eh? Back in the day, New whatever. New Amsterdam, New Brighton, New York. Yeah. Oh, there's the hills. Beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
After that, we had a yarn about how hard it is for young people to buy a house these days, which led us straight into a conversation about our sense of connection to place and how we locate ourselves here in Aotearoa.
You obviously haven't had this experience, but you must know people who have been, you know, urban Māori, and then they've returned to their ancestral whenua.
Mm-hmm.
But I imagine that in some ways you'd feel deeply connected, and then in other ways you wouldn't feel like you have the same sort of mana or authority that you were just describing?
Yep. I've seen that in some of my friends. It is, it's like that juxtaposition you talked about where it's simultaneously really painful but also really beautiful. Because you feel home, you're like, oh, this is it. This, because it's, it, I don't know how to explain it other than I'm like, oh, this is where I make the most sense when I'm here.
My mate Christian.
Is he from Ahuriri?
He's no Kahungungu Ki Wairoa. He's awesome.
He does awesome.
He, you know, learnt te reo all the way through school, went and did a degree in te reo Māori and Indigenous studies at UC. But it wasn't until his kuia passed away that he actually ended up going back to his marae in Wairoa.
Yeah.
He told me the story of him and his brother and some of the other whanganga from up there going up to the urupa to dig the grave. And he said while he was sitting in the urupa, he could all of a sudden see his pepeha.
Whoa. Yeah.
He could see it.
Yeah.
And he's been saying this thing for years and has felt connected to it, and that's his whakapapa.
Mm-hmm.
But he said there was just nothing like the experience of sitting in the urupa with the ko iwi of his tupuna, looking at the maunga.
Yeah.
That has collected the waters that have nurtured the people, and looking at the awa that has been the life stream.
Yeah.
Seeing the marae and then looking out to the moana, he's like, ah, this is pepeha.
Yeah, and that's where you make sense.
And
it all drops. Yeah, man, that's beautiful. I love that. I haven't seen anyone then resent the place they've come from, like the city that they've come from.
Yeah.
But they do start getting drawn back.
Yeah.
Drawn back, drawn home.
There's a thing I haven't done yet, but I am anticipating the day where I get to do it. So I'm like really Scottish, so my middle name's Cameron, which is my clan name.
Beautiful.
And my great grandfather was a champion piper, you know, played the bagpipes. Yo. I learned the bagpipes growing up, you know, my grandma would always get out all the tartans. And
you're very Scottish.
Yeah, and talk me through them. So I know my whakapapa a long way back on that side.
Love it.
But I haven't actually been back there yet. And so I'm hoping that when I go and stand on top of Ben Nevis and look down over the awa and see the whenua that nurtured my ancestors for most of like my whakapapa's history, I'm hoping that I feel a sense of connection to that place. Like, I love New Zealand and I feel deeply embraced by it, but I still don't really call it mine. I've done a few of those DNA tests to work out your fuck papa.
Yes.
And my dad's side, which is also really Scottish, he's basically like pure blood. He's like a pure blood. They call them Prietane, which is what the Romans called the Scottish. And it and it literally means the tattooed folk.
Whoa.
Because the Scottish were out of it, man. They were like tribal clans people, tattooed up to the days, lived in close community. I think it's one of the reasons why Maori and Scottish got on so well, because they were like tribal people. Yeah. They loved a good laugh.
They're like fast friends.
As a Pākehā New Zealander and having watched lots of Pākehā New Zealanders try and engage with the concept of pepeha, I feel like what it often does is either Pākehā feel the need to sort of try and colonise New Zealand again.
Hey!
By like claiming that this is where their whakapapa comes from, and it's just not true. But I get the impulse, because that process makes you feel dislocated from place, and you've got to re-find a way to locate yourself in the world.
Well, basically, the issue is people naming an actual Māori person's maunga as theirs, because they've like lived near it for a while.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, no, David, just because you moved to Auckland in 2003 doesn't mean that you possess rangitoto.
Yeah, people are like, I've lived near it for ages. I was like, okay, do you live because of it or close to it?
Yeah, yeah,
totally. Because they're different things.
I know, it always makes me feel a little bit uncomfortable when people go, yeah, I worked out my pepeha. There aren't many mountains there, but I jumped on Google Maps and I've found the mountain that's mine. And I'm like,
But there's lots of also nice modern wording. So you,
totally.
Rather than saying the possessive tōkus, yep, like they are mine, that yep, we are, you know, for Nongatanga words, people can say like the one that makes me happy.
Totally.
Or gives me joy or whatever.
Yeah, I normally say something like, I te puaki au, I raro I te korowai o ngā koha te whakarekere ko tamate e pōkai whenua.
Ana. Te people do te haumarutanga, yeah, te marumaru, like the thing that kept you safe and has held you. Maru. Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
Because that is its function.
Yeah. Ko Aotearoa te whenua e afi mai nei.
See? Embraced by. Beautiful. And relevant.
I kōrero a piripi ki au, ki tōna whakaro, ki te kaupapa o pepeha.
Yeah.
He was telling me that like it originally comes from peha peha, which was more like an internal thing. Mm-hmm. So basically you would chant your ancestry and your connection to place and people as a way to sort of like hype your own people up and to stand on the shoulders of those who have gone before you and feel their kind of like ihi and their wihi and be hyped up to actually lead your people forward based on who's gone before you.
Yep.
Which is a really different application of pepeha than telling everyone else about how you're located. He was saying that's a modern way of using pepeha.
Remind yourself who you are. Totally. And then the actual translation of pehapeha or pepeha is to boast, but not boast like in a prideful way, boast in terms of Braveheart going up and down in front of the army before you go into battle.
Yeah.
He reminds them who they are and what they're fighting for, that kind of a boast.
Remind
yourself who you are, because then it places you as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then also it has the function, if you're in a pōhiri setting or a formal setting, of connection. So you say your stuff for the purpose of the other people being able to connect themselves to you.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the whole point. It's never about gassing yourself up. Never.
Yeah. It's this weird tension between kaore tuku mau, kōrero ana ki tōna ake reka. But at the same time, it does mean to boast. But it's like a humble brag.
Yeah, it is.
Hey, like I remember having this really long conversation with Karutahi Piri, ki tēnei kaupapa.
Yeah.
And he was like, it's not about boasting. But when you stand and you're talking about your whakapapa and how you're located, you should feel proud of your whānau.
Exactly. Exactly.
And that was actually really, that was really helpful for me.
Yeah, because I think like the concept of pride or mana in Māori doesn't diminish the other.
Yeah.
So I think there's a weird concept of me being proud of myself. Other people think, oh, you think you're better than me, but that's not a thing.
Yeah, yeah, that's so interesting.
Which is interesting, because the first question you'll get from a Māori, and I saw my dad do it to my mate recently, is either where you from or nohia mai koe.
Yep.
But it's not to try and rank myself against you, it's to try and connect myself to you.
Yeah.
So we can feel related, connected.
To locate and connect.
Yeah, and how close are we and whatever.
Locate and connect. That's really helpful. I probably learned te reo for like 5 years before I realised that that's the point of pepeha. And so what that means now is when I'm standing in a room and I'm invited to introduce myself using pepeha. Mm. That's the question that's running through my mind. What can I say here that is going to help to locate me in this room and on this whenua? And what can I say that's going to help to build connections with people in this
Exactly. Yeah. It's for the benefit of the group. It's never for the benefit of yourself. It's for the benefit of the whole.
I was so into the kōrero that I kind of stopped paying attention to where I was going.
Oh, I just made a terrible choice.
Ha!
I actually need to be over there.
Ha!
Yeah, well, hey, that's why they invented roundabouts.
What's a loop among friends?
Oh, this loop could be quite bad.
What's happening?
Oh, this is a motorway loop. Oh, no. We're going to go 3.5k this way before we can turn around. We're having the ultimate Auckland experience right now. Man, I stuffed that up. You know what happened is I turned off the audio of Siri so she wasn't telling me what to do so that we could talk. And then I stopped paying attention to Siri.
We need her.
I'm so sorry, Siri. Then because of my wrong turn, we were running a bit late to pick up old mate Andrew, so I gave him a call. Kia ora, we're about to tell you.
That car park with the countdown thing,
so
I was right outside the entrance
of the countdown. Okay, cool. Oh, we'll be there in about 2 minutes. Not even that.
Cool.
Okay.
See you soon.
Bye. Good to see Andrew.
Our cool friend.
Andrew Shepherd is a lecturer at Otago University in Dunedin, and he has done a heap of research and thinking on ecological theology and environmental ethics. At least, that's what it says on the university's website. So he brings a world of wisdom to our conversations, and he's really fun to hang out with.
Where's he? I've got a sleeping bag this time.
Did you get a wheelie?
I still do have the wheelie.
And I still brought my... Oh my goodness, you got brown.
Yeah, so unfortunately we're going to have to do some planting.
Oh, that's a real bummer.
I bought new gumboots.
That's why I bought my camping boots. All my boots and not my dress-up shoes.
So there was this thing that Waiwata just couldn't wait to tell Andrew about.
I had a cheese roll first time ever. Fun. Loved it.
Welcome to the SIA.
Top notch.
Probably wouldn't have been top notch because you went in South Island.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what James said.
It's the magic soup.
Pardon?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a Maggi soup packet.
That's like the cheesy, saucy stuff.
I really enjoyed it.
I just bought you one. I was like, try this.
I said, what's a cheese roll? He said, I've already got you one. You have to try it.
Now, last time I picked up Waiora and Andrew, I took them to one of my favourite places in Ototahi Christchurch, Pūtaringamotu, or Rickerton Bush. But this time, I wanted to take them somewhere entirely different. A place that is incredibly special for me personally. It's a bit of whenua that I am deeply invested into and I feel deeply connected to as well. And I couldn't wait for them to experience it.
So, no mai ki te donkey track. Worst name ever.
Imagine having a donkey for a pet. There you go.
So there was a donkey that lived next to this river for like 10 years and it will forever be its name.
Silly.
You know, the area is called Huriawa. So it's the bend in the river. Mahinga kai back in the pre-European days. But here we are.
My church, the River Opawaho, has been leading a community project to care for the river and regenerate native bush in the reserve.
So this here was all grass when we started.
Yeah, oh, this is cool. That's very lovely. You can see here, and everything just up here as well.
Yeah.
Are we already in amongst the project?
Yeah. So literally this whole piece here, this was all grass. That bank there was entirely denuded. This was all just Tradescantia.
Can you swim in there?
You could. I mean, technically.
It looks nice.
None of these harakeke were here, none of these grasses were here, these pittosporums. These are all self-regenerated kōwhai, so this didn't used to happen because the Tradescantia just choked it all.
Is this a council, essentially it's a council-run project, like it's council land?
Council reserve.
Yeah.
So we have to work in partnership with the council.
Yeah.
We planted all those huroeka.
So is this all this planting's been done by in the last 2 years?
Most of it.
It's really well developed, and there's a lot of it.
Yeah, we've put about 3,000 plants in.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
All these harakeke.
Paid by the council.
Well, I get some funding from Meridian Energy.
Yeah.
I've hustled some native plants myself from local nurseries, and then the council funds some as well.
So essentially, you've driven the project.
Yeah. So we're going to put a bunch of grasses in here. It's a bit vacant in there. This is the project, and while we've made like a small ecological difference, there's so many things I love about this. I love the fact that all the people that are part of it
you know, from the 3-year-olds to the 70-year-olds have this equal sense of contributing and participation.
That's the great beauty of planting projects, isn't
it? That's amazing, eh?
Yeah.
And I love the fact that on Sunday when we're down here, instead of being at church, well, this is church, dogs run past. There's a market, like a food market just down the road. So this is like a highway of people walking through when we're here.
Yeah, great.
So we meet heaps of the community, and I love the conversation where people go, oh, so why are you doing this? And we're like, oh, we're Christians.
We care about
We're doing this because God loves the world, and so do we.
Yeah, great.
It's amazing.
And so do we.
Which begins a whole lot of great conversations.
That's exactly it.
It's really beautiful.
Andrew, when you come into a space like this,
Do you feel sad?
I don't feel depressed in this space because I feel like it's got some hope.
It does.
No. But with an ecological eye, what do you see?
I mean, the thing that strikes me when I walk in is the obvious transformations.
Lots of places in New Zealand where there's rivers and then they've been cleared and then you have these grass verges and you're used to going past with the council workers with their ride on the mowers.
You know, so that's the first thing you see is quite obvious transformations. The other thing is there's a lot of mahi as well as planting because actually the plants are looking a really good mix. So it looks like people have come, weeded, watered, because like you said, summers here in Ototahi can be quite hot.
Yeah.
So someone's obviously done the necessary work afterwards. And then I see, in my mind's eye, is what this will look like in 15 or 20 years' time. People will be walking through this area right next to the river. It'll be shaded. There'll be lots of life. There'll be lots of bird life. There'll be lots of insect life. That's good.
Yeah.
That's what life should be like.
That's the dream, eh?
Yeah. So that's what I see.
Okay. Yeah. So nice.
Yeah. I also then look around and see some weeds.
Gigantia, man.
Just a few of them. And you think, yeah.
Oh, is that the bad one?
That one there. So that one there just grows as a carpet.
Yeah.
And it creeps up the bank. And then it just takes over and it just smothers everything. And so when we first started here,
it would have just been the
whole bank was just this carpet of Tradescantia. What do you see in a space like this, Wilder?
Oh, I like the coming together of the community. I like what you spoke about with the intergenerational mahi. I'm really drawn to that. I like the regeneration. I'm into what the space gives back to people.
Yeah. You know what's crazy is how many people walk through here and they don't actually stop and help. That's not the crazy bit. What's crazy is how many people stop to go, thank you. They say, I don't know if you've noticed, but I've noticed there's just so much more bird noise in here now.
Mm.
And I'm like, yeah, that's awesome.
I have noticed. I like it. I feel like it's cool. People come in here and do things together and build it together and share. I'm into that.
It's pretty epic.
Says me as I watch you both do it.
After we planted some natives, we jumped back into my waka and we started our haringa back to the hut. And as we got close, Andrew realised something.
Did you get a sleeping bag or a blankie?
It's like a sleeping blankie.
What did you bring, Andrew?
Nothing, now that I'm thinking about it.
Did you actually not?
No, I'm just suddenly realising it. But that's fine, it's a blankie in the office. She was talking about the sleeping bag and was like, hang on, that's why I didn't bring
it. You put it in brackets, Wilder, in the email.
Hang on, so we're yet to have a recording
where everyone's had blankets.
A blanket. Turns out Wilder had forgotten some things too.
Wait, is there no power?
It's all coming back, it's coming back to me now.
No!
What?
Don't you remember?
No!
It's off the grid! I hyped up last time how off the grid it was.
Do you remember?
But how did you have all that stuff plugged in last time?
I'm running everything off batteries.
Cars!
So we parked the waka, puffed up the track, and just like that, we were back.
Guys, we're back at the hut! Oh, nice to be back.
It is,
Yeah.
So we made a cup of tea, set ourselves up, and we were ready to discuss ngahere, the many connections that exist between creation, the Bible, and living in Aotearoa. And that's us for part one of our journey. Make sure you listen to part two, where we will talk about how supermarkets have changed our world and how that might be related to Genesis 2. Ngahere, the many connections,
is a project funded by the Wilberforce Foundation in partnership with Scripture Union, produced by me, James Beck, with creative direction from the Reverend Spanky Moore. Our music was created by the wonderful Chris Williams. Check him out on Spotify. And don't forget to listen to the whole 6-part series of Ngahere. And if you'd like, we'd appreciate you giving us a review and a rating on Apple Podcasts so that other people can find us too. Hei a kua nei.